Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties, by the way. So important. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. That eases the buying performance. And a fabulous service department with great technicians that make the buying experience even better, because you know you've got the life of the vehicle in the hands of some great technicians. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. A Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren finally got the NFL job he's been looking for. He is going to go to the Chicago Bears. It is not the first NFL job he has pursued in the last 7 months, but he ended up with the Bears. He'll be the president there. And now the Big Ten will go through the process of finding a new commissioner. Okay, so there you go. Did you want more out of that or segment? Or
it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it puts the Big Ten in a little bit of a tough spot because you're about to bring in two new schools, does it not?
You have other people doing that job, okay? There are other people that are doing that job. The commissioner has nothing to do with the integration of anybody, except for being, you know, in terms of the direction of it. Other people, they have people working on schedules and things like that and how to do this. So, essentially, a lot of the heavy lifting stuff is already in place. In other words, they've expanded. USC and UCLA are in. They've got the TV contracts in place. That's all set. So at this point, whomever comes in as commissioner knows that they have 16 schools. The person that comes in as commissioner knows that they have TV deals with Fox, CBS, NBC, and, of course, while still having BTN in, deeply in the mix as well. So they know they have all that stuff. So whatever transition there's going to be is going to be, quote, a relatively easy one. The college football playoffs already going to 12 games. So the person that gets this job has an opportunity to really get their feet square on the ground before any more heavy lifting is done. In the end, I think you're going to see, and I've talked about this many times, that I think the remaining Pac-10 will get its new TV deal within, let's guess. I'd say before this quarter is out, within the next 3 months. So next 2 months, maybe 3 months. Once they get that TV deal is going to be accompanied by a grant of rights. And that will slow down any expansion talk for a minimum of 4 to 5 years. And that's across the board. I think when you look at the Big Ten and the SEC both going to 16. I still maintain, and I've maintained this for a long time, that there is a limit in college sports from a management point of view as to what you can take on. because it is one thing for a pro league, and Kevin Warren's going to the Bears, so he's going to the NFL. Well, a pro league, okay, they have 32 teams. Great, but that's all they do is 32 teams. The NBA, all they have to worry about, Adam Silver has to worry about 30 teams. Gary Bettman, 32. Rob Manfred, 30. If you're a conference commissioner, you have to worry about 16 schools times how many sports? Was it 22 sports in the Big Ten? I don't know. Let's just use that as a benchmark. That's 352, just if you use 22. That's 352 different teams you have to worry about. Not 32. Not 30. 352 when you're a conference commissioner. So for the world that wants to sit there and say, hey, let's go to 20. This will be great. World domination. Now you're up to 440 teams. You want to be in charge of 440? Really? And I'm just using rough numbers here. There'll be a lot of articles written about list of accomplishments during his tenure at the Big Ten. The people that put all this stuff together worked really hard to do it. The TV deals, everybody's going to get money out of the addition of UCLA and USC takes the Big Ten from Los Angeles essentially to New York. They also added two great brands in there. The USC, of course, is a mega brand. UCLA is an extremely strong secondary brand. Now, of course, you have to make it work. That's why this entire idea that he pushed, by the way, I mean, he's the one that pushed it. Let's go to 20. It's like everybody's like, yo, man, hey, slow down. Let's figure out how we get these to win. And it's not just how do you get these to win. They were told directly by the networks, hey, look, there's no more money. So everybody's going to have to take less. And so he had to slow down that talk along the way. Because there are others that had a little more financial common sense that sat back and said, hey, you got to put the brakes on this. Let's just see how this works first.
You weren't that far off, by the way. 14 men's and 14 women's NCAA-sanctioned sports sponsored by the Big Ten.
So it's 28?
Correct. So you weren't that far off.
Well, I said 22. I'm a quarter off. So it's 22 times, let's just go 16 with everybody in there. It would be 448 sports. So in other words, I mean, that's 448 teams you have to manage. All right. Along the way, that's under your umbrella as opposed to 32. I mean, that's a lot. And that's why now you expand to 20. Now you're up to 560. Right? Really? Ew. And you're not getting more money for it. Everybody's getting less money for it. But, so it's a relatively short tenure. You're not going to, you probably have a feeling of, after trying to somehow navigate the COVID year, like, great, this is my first full year? Really? My first conference tournament? And we have to cancel it? Really? My first college football season? I know he was brought in, and Jim was still the commissioner until the 31st of December 2019. But, you know, for Kevin Warren, he's like, you come in like, this is my first season? Looking around like, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, and we can sit here and we can go back and forth about the decisions that were made during that year. I will say this, in the end, the TV deals are awesome. I'll say in the end, as I think everyone knows, I personally think it's great to add in UCLA and USC. I'm not for going beyond 16, and I've been that way the entire time. because it doesn't make any financial sense to me. You're not going to get more money from the networks now. You got to understand how it works. You're not going to get more. Okay. Now, the next go around. Okay. Now, 5 years from now, let's see what the landscape is. Let's see what the landscape is with the college football playoff. 5 years from now, let's see where everybody stands. Then maybe you can think to yourself, okay, this USC-UCLA thing worked. Maybe it'd be better for them and for the conference to add in some other people. Now you make the decision then. You don't make that decision now. You don't. And so he will take the Bears job. And the Big Ten will look for another commissioner. But whomever comes in to the job of commissioner already has a TV deal in place, and they've got years before they have to think about the next one. They already have USC and UCLA in place, and the transition has already started in terms of trying to put together schedules, things like that. There's a different group that does that. That's under the umbrella of the commissioner, but that's already being done. And so this person, whomever it is, will come in, and a lot of the heavy lifting is not on the horizon. So they're allowed to really lock in and get their feet on the ground, walk, find out, then run. And I don't mean run away to another job. But I think it's a great time to step in to be the conference commissioner of the Big Ten. You've got a lot of good things already in place. All right. We'll talk to Dave Russin next half hour. Do you mind if I talk basketball? Do you mind if I talk football?
Of course.
We'll do that in a moment. You know, I feel awful. We didn't get your rant in. Go ahead.
We can save it. I'm good today.
That's a rarity.
Yeah, I'm good today. And you answered all my questions about this Kevin Warren situation, so we're good.
What about, you know, again, he's leaving and the conference is in good shape. So, I mean, yeah. They've got the TV.
Well said.
The TV deals. They have the expansion. Whomever takes over the job, there'll be day-to-day things that you have to handle, right, which is, you know, which is what any conference commissioner has to do. But the primary things happen to be, how do you handle your TV deals? Check. How do you handle your, if your conference is going to expand, how do you handle that? Check. Those are two gigantic check marks. And the big, after the Alliance worked out so well, you ended up with a 12-team college football playoff, which more than 2 years ago we talked about here. Ooh, severe weather advisory for Nantucket. I wonder why I have that on my phone. Maybe I like going there. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Oh, my almighty!
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Funk looks it over. Jai comes out to set the screen with 12 to shoot. Funk near wing, Clary. Clary back to Funk. Deep three-pointer way downtown.
You, sir, are my hero.
Yeah, when he hit it from the nose of the lion, and for those who don't understand, that's right near midcourt. I knew Matt would play it back. I think it's important, by the way, that you do get your rant of the day in. I got a text from your therapist and told me it was necessary.
No, I if I'm going to go on, it's a happy rant today. Andrew Funk, woo-hoo-hoo. He's done that once or twice in Soika, knocking it from near midcourt. And they came out exactly as I thought they would, Steve. Actually, you've even said the same thing, too. I mean, that was the kind of game I expected. Shooting the ball well, coming out with a vengeance, taking care of business. They win the game by 19. That was a nice, nice bounce back last night.
Needed it. That's one of those line in the sand games that, you know, you sit there and you've lost a couple in a row. One of them, look, the game may have been the Palestra, but that was a home game for Penn State. You get 10 home games in the Big Ten. That was one of them. So you had to bounce back on your floor, and you needed to win, and they did. So now they can go into the weekend, and this will be their only off weekend of the season. And then they'll play at Wisconsin on Tuesday night at 8:30. And I think that means that the guys will be back about, let's see, maybe 8:30, 10:30 from the airport. Tonight, about 2:30 in the morning, so they could be at 8 a.m. classes.
Oof.
Hello? You wonder why Kevin Willard said what he said. All right. But now you go into the weekend, and you also have a coaching staff that can sit there and say, okay, this is what we talked about on Monday and why we practice this way Monday. This is why we talked about it on Tuesday and why we practice this way on Tuesday. Okay? You ended up playing the game this way because of what you did on Monday and Tuesday, and then you carried it over into the game. So in other words, you can't sit there and go, oh, okay, great. We did great. We're fine now. Nope. You got to take what you did on Monday and Tuesday, and the way you applied it to Wednesday means you've got to do that tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, get on the plane Monday. You got to play that way again, and even more so at Wisconsin, the equivalent of football on wood. So, I mean that's what it comes down to. They played hard. I thought it was the best game Kevin Jai played all season. He had been asked to go through the gauntlet, which meant he had to play Hunter Dickinson, skilled third-year player. Zach Edey, skilled third-year player. Both bigger than he is. Trace Jackson Davis, skilled fourth-year player. I mean, in a lot of ways, Kevin should still be in high school. And yet, you know what? That was last night. You know, you look at the, you know, don't look at me. That was, well, the stat sheet says, please. Okay, use your eyes. 2 points, 5 rebounds. That's the best game he's played. Against the quality of man he played last night in Trace Jackson Davis, who's a hell of a player. He went out last night. And you know what? He played really well. There was not a single moment where I thought Kebba was tentative last night. None. And he's run the gauntlet here. I mean, look at the quality and the age of the guys he's played against the last three games. Hunter Dickinson, terrific. Zach Edey, right now, Big Ten Player of the Year. Trace Jackson Davis, always great respect for him. Great win. Dave Revson next half hour. Still have to get to Matt's rant of the day. It's something that's medically mandatory now.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. Great buying experience. And by the way, January is a great month to buy a vehicle. Get some great deals. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Go ahead, do your rant. America wants to hear it.
I honestly don't have much to rant about today. I'm happy today with Penn State and that W they got last night. I'm not happy with the Bison. Things aren't as happy here in Bison land as they dropped 0-5 in Patriot League play. But that's about all I got for today.
My goodness, sir. There's an opportunity then for little Luke and little Mark to get presents from Dad on the way home.
They got enough during Christmas.
Wow. Boy, I hope the youngins weren't listening to that part. Daddy slammed the door shut there. All right.
Just walk into my living room and you'll find out.
Holy mackerel. Okay. Last night's game. So let's do an equivalent. Let's talk about the offense for a moment. Let's do an equivalent of football to basketball. The problem Penn State, and I talked to Dick about this in a commercial break. I said, the football game against Michigan, one of the problems they had, a couple of guys had alignment problems in that game defensively. And there was a lot of heart-to-hearts, and you got people trying to make up for other people, you know, when you get into that situation. So thus, you're trying to do part of their job and part of your job instead of just doing your job. And, you know, you heard Manny talk about that. Well, for Penn State in basketball, what happened, especially the last two games, and in particular on Sunday, offensively, their spacing was not very good. And that's an alignment problem there, because that has been one of the hallmarks of how Penn State has played this year offensively. They've been able to get now three games of 15 three-pointers or better because they have been able to have excellent spacing on the floor. And last night they had that, and it made such a difference. The alignment, just the pure alignment of it, made a big difference. Indiana, they did something that other teams have not done this year. They started running a second guy at Jalen Pickett. And this is why he is such a great, legitimately great college point guard. Okay? He's a great college point guard. He can sense in the first 5 minutes what the temperature in the room is. Now, he ended up with a dozen points last night, but he had the same thing. I mean, he goes out, grabs a bunch of rebounds, 8 more assists. I mean, fabulous. And I don't know how many hockey assists he had last night because Cam Winter had 6 assists to go with it. And when you look at them running a second guy, that means he knows somebody else is open. And guys like Seth Lundy and Andrew Funk made it pay off by hitting 7 threes apiece last night. But it wasn't just them, because then you add in, okay, what did everybody else do? Well, Penn State had 18 threes last night. I mean, everybody else was 4-7 in 3. So everybody else was hitting shots because they were open. And it made a big difference last night. Then defensively, they really knuckled down and played really well defensively. And it really helped, as I mentioned, Kebajai play well. Evan Mahaffey has been just a terrific player. Every game you see him get a little bit better. He had a dozen last night. And he's doing a great job of playing within himself right now. So he's not trying to do anything that he's not capable of doing. Yeah, he shot a 3 last night. Good. He shot a 3 last night. And he only shot the 1, and he made it. Yeah, because we all know he's not a great 3-point shooter. But now he's picked his spots the last few games. And because he's picked his shot the last few games, he's actually 3 of his last 5 in threes. Okay, you know, you don't want him to go out and shoot 5 threes in a game, but if he's wide open and picks his spot, he can do that, okay? And he did that. Rebounding, excellent. And when they went to the smaller lineup last night, and Penn State made its 2 runs with the smaller lineup last night, which has been so effective, Mahaffey was a part of that group. As for Seth Lundy, he is the fourth Roman Catholic high school player to come to Penn State and now score 1,000 points. Shep Garner, Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens went over 2,000, and now Seth Lundy. Quite a pipeline there. And since 2011, Penn State's now had 9,000-point scorers. The most important part out of all this is they're now 12-5. They're 3-3 in the Big Ten. And it was one they needed. They're 41 now, KenPom. I think they're 50 in the net. Yeah, texted Dick what this was today. Let's see. They are ding, 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 ding. Yeah, let me see. I texted this to him earlier today. Yeah, 52 in the net, 41 KenPom. So that's really good. 1,000-point scorers since 2011. Lamar, DJ Newbill, Shep Garner, Brandon Taylor, Mike Watkins, Tony Carr, Josh Reeves, Miles Dredd, and now Seth Lundy. And that's nine. That's nearly 25% of all the three-point scores in the history of Penn State basketball. And you know, some people say, well, they play more games now. Well, have they played more games in the last couple of years? There was no postseason tournament in 2020. They only played 24 games, I believe, in 2021. And then last year, there was three games that were missed because of COVID last year. So they haven't played as many games in the last few years to get there, which is interesting. And it's easier for me to sit there and rattle off that stuff only because, you know, obviously I have to live through it. But, I mean, the crowd was good last night. They had over 8,000. Lower bowl, not completely filled, but as the night went, looked like there were more and more people. That was great to get them there last night. And, you know, that's what they're going to need. I mean, home court in this conference especially means everything. That's why it was important for Penn State. That, I mean, I thought there's always going to be pressure on you wherever, as the coach, as to where you play. But in conference play, Penn State was the home team last night. Indiana was trying to get back on track but steal one on the road. And when you do go on the road and you can steal one on the road like Penn State did at Illinois, right? Now, they're going to have to do it again someplace else. But that was important for Penn State. It was on their floor. They're the ones that needed to hold serve. They did. I thought, and Micah Shrewsbury, I thought, gave a great talk after the game. And this is something, look, he talked about this before the game, too, which is why Dick and I brought it up on the post-game show with him, about him and understanding the joy of it. Because you can get so wrapped up in the winning and the losing. And I mean, and I understand that, because let's face it, there is one person that is sitting there that the wins and the losses are attached to. It's called your record. And, you know, Micah Shrewsbury did a great job of just telling us, he says, you know what? He says, I needed to take a long look at what's been going on, right? And not get too wrapped up in the W's and the L's. Great to have with us one of the best in the business. Great respect for my good friend Dave Refson, BTN. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. A little bit of a hectic day, but all good. How are you?
Doing great, and I won't take up too much time in this day, okay? Just a quick reaction on Kevin Warren staying in the area, but instead going to the Chicago Bears.
Well, I don't think particularly surprised, just given that the news has been circulating here for a couple weeks and hadn't really been shot down in any sort of meaningful way. So
right.
I think it's one of those situations where if it's out there that long, where no one at all actively tries to say this isn't the case, then you begin to believe that this is what's going to happen. So not surprised at the news that came down today. I was definitely surprised when I initially saw it. But, you know, I guess it just kind of comes down to what kind of job it is that you want. And Kevin Warren accomplished a great deal here. It's hard to believe it's only been 3 years. It feels in some ways like it's been 15 just because of all the changes in college sports in this time and everything we've been through with pandemic and whatnot. But from that point of view, he certainly, you know, left his mark and has done a lot of really good things with the Big Ten. But you know, his background is in the NFL, and the Bears, yeah, is it's a really good opportunity for him as one who's a lifelong Bears fan and lives in Chicago. It does feel like this is a rare moment where the Bears actually have an opportunity to do something and to build positively, getting the number one pick. He was integral, as you probably know, in building the stadium in Minnesota, which was an incredible success, yes, on a lot of levels. They're trying to do something similar, it seems, here in Chicago with a new stadium for the Bears in the northwest suburbs. And so I just feel like this is easy for Kevin Warren to see himself in this job. And frankly, the Bears have been so poorly managed through the years that really anything you do, you can't help but to be better than what it's been. And so maybe this is just kind of where his heart is. And again, he did a really good job with Big Ten in challenging circumstances, and wish him the best. I'm going to miss working with him.
The next part is this. The next commissioner, whomever that may be, the TV contract is in place. The UCLA-USC integration has already started. It feels like that person, the heavy lifting stuff is a couple of years down the road. So how important will it be for them to have now a proper transition without the pressure of those items?
I do think that's important. I will say this. I mean, UCLA and USC, that onboarding is going to be a challenging proposition.
Yes.
So I do, you know, to do it right and to make everyone feel welcome and to kind of have everyone feel integrated and to make it seem seamless in much the same way that I think that happened, you know, long ago with Penn State, more recently, obviously, with Nebraska and Rutgers in Maryland. That is, you know, that's right there. That's like front and center. I mean, when you think about going through this process and hiring someone and getting them going, I mean, it will be pretty immediate when they start that job. So to me, that's the biggest part of it. There's so much else going on in college sports, as you know, and so I think this person's going to have to be nimble in terms of being a good consensus builder, getting the Big Ten to kind of come up with a uniform plan of where they stand on some of the pressing issues in college sports, cognizant of the fact that some of those issues now are out of their hands, right? That a lot of the kind of bigger things that we're dealing with are in the hands of the courts. And so there's part of that where, you know, you kind of need to see how some of these legal processes unfold. But I don't think that this is a job you're going to be able to ease into, maybe less so than Kevin, although I think part of what happened with Kevin, obviously, was just the unforeseen aspect of the pandemic that, you know, the guy took over his job on January 2nd, and the thing was already kind of starting, right? We started talking, yeah, about it probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, and, you know, 2 months later, obviously, you're canceling seasons, and the world is shaken upside down. And so you could have never anticipated that, and, history will kind of say as to, you know, how much that impacted Kevin. Certainly early in his tenure, it was overwhelming, as it was for anyone in a business leadership position, and we don't know what the world will bring. He's a prime example of that. But I do think that UCLA and USC issue is going to be front and center from the get-go.
Well, there's no question about that because, as I pointed out there, what the Big Ten, I think, sponsors 28 sports. When you're the commissioner of the NFL, you're responsible for 32 franchises. Well, you take 28 times 16, and you're talking, what, about 500 different sports teams that are under your umbrella. So being a conference commissioner is a little bit different animal in terms of integration of sports compared to it would be if you had an expansion team and decided to put it in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure. It is a massive job. And there's so many different components of it. I mean, everything from dealing with officiating to dealing with media rights partners to dealing with fans, student athletes. You know, I will say this with Kevin Warren. I mean, student athlete welfare was front and center for him from the very first moment that I met him and talked to him. We had breakfast together, and he talked about some of the initiatives that ended up coming to pass that were really important to him about making student athletes citizens of the world and helping them understand that there was a life beyond and after college athletics, and helping make them aware of all the things that were going on around them. And he did a brilliant job of doing that. And it was something that was really, really important to him. And those are things you don't necessarily think about as a, you know, some when you think about the role of a college commissioner. So there are so many different components to this. I do think one of the things, I was talking with Joel Klatt on our show today, and you know, he kind of brought up this notion of you've got to surround yourself with really good people. And I think more now more than ever, it's going to be really important to have like a great deputy commissioner, to have people who can kind of handle all of these other aspects, because it is an all-encompassing job. I mean, the vastness of it almost boggles the mind, Steve. Yeah. It almost feels like too much for one person to handle, although it's not. I mean, there are people who are doing it. But it's every single minute of every single day. And so I do think it needs to be someone who can kind of dive in feet first, who knows that world, who understands college sports, but also is nimble enough to know there are lots of other forces that you wouldn't traditionally think of as being part of college sports and now are.
One final question, Dave, before I let you go, because I know you're really busy. How much do you think it helped Kevin's perspective when you talk about student-athletes, that as he was commissioner of the conference, he had a student-athlete already in his family that he could at least talk to and relate to about what he was going through?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent. And he was a student-athlete himself. You know, he began his basketball career at Penn, ended up transferring home to Grand Canyon near his home in Phoenix. But I do think that's a huge part of it. He came from a family of student-athletes as well. You know, siblings that played college sports. So his daughter was a runner. So, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why he saw it as big picture-wise. I think that's why he understood kind of, hey, this is, you know, it is the trite, whatever it is, 98% will go pro in something other than sports. And, you know, I know people roll their eyes maybe a little bit at that, but it's true. Like, it is true. And so if we're not kind of serving all of these other aspects of student-athletedom, then we're getting it wrong. And so I think that was what Kevin – not that – you know, I think Jim was really attuned to that too. I mean, you know, Jim Delaney was an athlete, was starting guard on a Final Four team, played for one of the all-time legends in Dean Smith. So I'm not in any way – and I know you're not implying that, but I'm saying, like, this wasn't a foreign concept. But I think, like, it became a centerpiece for Kevin. It was really, really important to him. And yeah, I do think that's informed by the people that are in your life, just like anything you do in a leadership role is.
My friend, thanks a lot for squeezing us in today. We really appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
Dave Revson, BTN, joining us on the show today. Kevin Warren to the Bears as their president. And by the way, it's going to be a big job for them. They have to make a decision. The Bears do. Do you take the city of Chicago's offer as to what they want to do with Soldier Field? I think you saw there was a rather elaborate video put out, I think it was a week ago, by the city of Chicago as to what they wanted to do with Soldier Field. Or do you take the team to Arlington and Arlington Park? Where, you know, just like, you, I mean, I just saw the Rams Stadium, obviously, in Inglewood, and that's exactly where Hollywood Park used to be. So the ability to take an old racetrack because of the land that you have available, and the Bears have bought that, do they now want to put their stadium there? He would be the one that would direct all of this. So it's going to be a huge job, and that's going to be front and center. Do the Bears continue to play in the city and play near the lake, or do they play in the suburbs up at Arlington Park? And that's what Dave was referring to. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks to Dave Revson, who took some time to be with us today. Look, I mean, he's got everybody calling him. We call him. He does the show. It's just the kind of guy Dave is. And again, there are a lot of NCAA issues. Today, the NCAA Council put more restrictions on a second transfer. In other words, you can transfer the first time, play right away, but your ability to transfer a second time and play right away, there is going to be a list of items that will allow you to do it, and playing time or being the backup at your current school is not one of them. You'd have to sit out a year. So that's what they put out. But as Dave mentioned, a lot of this is in courts. There's a lot of legal issues. But the heavy lifting ones of just getting USC and UCLA, that's going to be the big one. Getting them transitioned in and rock solid in the transition is the important role.